It was amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears released. How precious did that grace appear. First believed through many dangers, souls and snares, I have
to sing God's praise. And when we first begun, let's sing praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your word, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh God, we're trusting in you today. We trust in no man. We trust in no creed. We trust in no government. We trust in only you and your word, O God. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, that we have today to gather together around your word with those of like precious faith, Lord. Lord, we gather not in fear, but we gather in love today. We love you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, as the world falls apart around us, O God, we're so grateful for the faith in our hearts that you've given to us, Lord. The love in our hearts that you've given to us, Lord. The grace that we feel upon our lives, O God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless each one that's here today, O God. May you bless the reading of your word now. We commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to Matthew chapter 24? Amen. He's worthy, isn't he?
Amen.
He's worthy of all of our praise and worship. The angels are worshiping him day in and day out, worshiping God. Amen. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 32. I'm going to read a good portion of this today. Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, amen, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. It's good to be here today.
Amen.
You know, I'm happy to see each and every one of you here, not being led by fear,
amen,
but being led by faith.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And, you know, we understand, frankly, the condition of the world today. You know, when we see what's happened, and all that's going on just shows us how quickly things can change. How quickly things can change. So it reminds me of 9/11. I remember where I was standing. Many of us probably do. Except for the youngsters. We remember what we were doing. I remember where I was, and I remember who I was talking to when I heard that planes went into the World Trade Center. And then by the time I had heard about it, some of the buildings came down pretty quickly. And then you hear about the Pentagon, and just suddenly you were shaken, like, wow, that's, you know. And from that moment, the world was never the same. The world was never the same, you know. And we knew about terrorism, but we didn't know about it in that way. We weren't familiar with it in that way. And we didn't even imagine that that was possible. Before 9/11, I never imagined something like that happening. You know, and this current situation we have with the virus, this didn't happen all in one day. This is kind of ramped up over a few months now. And it's just ramping up the fear that's on people, the action being taken by government officials. But it has the same feeling to me that the world will never be the same. Because when you look at what's going on, people are scared. And they're scared because they really don't know what to think or what's going to happen or what do they all seek though? Safety and protection.
That's right.
And to me, there's only one safe place.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. So, and He's coming soon.
Amen.
So to me, I don't like to be negative, or I don't like to be someone that is contrary to people. But most of the world is looking for, you know, things to recover. Like 9/11 happened, they rebuilt. You know, they put a nice memorial there, and they built a building up there just as high. And so there was a recovery, because man, the worldly man, he's not looking to get out of this world. He's looking to live here and to prosper as much as he can. See? But to us, this world's not our home. We are aliens. We are strangers in a strange land. And we're here as Christians, born again Christians. We're here only to do what God wants us to do. Whatever that would be. And that's not, that's going against the grain of all the world and what they're doing. So I'm looking for Jesus to come back. I'm not looking for a recovery where things get better. And that's what the world is looking for. Christians should not be driven by fear. Our actions should not be based on fear. But the revelation of the love of God and faith in our hearts. See, now, we're not to be insensitive to people that are without Christ. We're not to be insensitive to their fears and to make fun of their fears. No, I if someone doesn't want to shake my hand, I don't have to shake your hand. See, but I'm not afraid to shake your hand. Okay? I was at a conference and they started doing a foot tap, because they don't want to do the fist pump no more. They don't really like to do the elbow. So they start doing the foot tap. You know, I'll go along with that, you know. But I'm so grateful to have Jesus Christ in my life, because I don't have that fear that everybody has. And I don't want to be driven by fear. It's the unknown. It's always the unknown. And that's kind of like a virus like this has all those perfect storm of attributes. It's unknown. You can't see it. You can't tell if somebody has it. Somebody could be healthy looking and they still have it and they're transferring it. So all those unknown things, if you get it, how severe is it going to be? All those unknown things make it scary to people, not knowing if you're going to get sick or how you're going to get sick. Those unseen things, unseen forces scare people. But as Christians, we've been on high alert our whole Christian life.
Amen.
Fighting against unseen forces. Fighting against unseen demon spirits. Spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, you can have somebody who's a leader of a country or a leader of a religious organization, and they can have all the appearance of good, but behind it, there's an evil spirit there motivating. And they're deceived themselves. They don't even know it. So we're used to, I can actually remember the day that God touched me, March 1st, 1987. Overnight, the biggest thing that happened to me was my eyes were open. and I could see, I wasn't seeing anything physically different, but spiritually, I saw everywhere the demon influences. So we're not, like the world is scared of these unseen virus, which the demons are behind a sickness, I believe. And so, but we're used to fighting against the unseen.
Yes, sir.
So that's why it doesn't affect a Christian as much, because every day we wake up, we know we have unseen enemies in this world. And we fight against those principalities and powers, evil spirits, deceiving people, destroying people. You know, when someone's has a relationship that's falling apart, you know, what you see visible is maybe the two people or the family involved. But behind that, there's spirits moving.
Amen.
See, there's evil spirits at work everywhere. And we should be on high alert anyway, you know, about the unseen forces moving.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so the Bible said this morning, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, what was happening in Noah's day? Well, judgment was coming. Judgment was coming. So people had become so wicked that God said, I'm just going to wipe it out. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right?
Amen.
Noah, you know, I think today, in this day where there is a coming judgment, there's going to be people that find grace.
Amen.
There's going to be people that are saved from the judgment that's coming. So Noah was instructed to build an ark and get in it, right? And people are looking for a safe place today. That ark was the safe place.
Amen.
As it was in the days of Noah, there is an ark today.
Yes. Amen.
There is a safe place today.
Amen.
Okay? And so, when Noah and his family got in that ark, they were saved from the judgment that came. Now, I know God promised, he put the rainbow there as a reminder, a covenant to himself, I'm never going to destroy the world with a flood. But as Bible readers, we know there's something else coming. And God's going to resurface this earth. So let's just read in 2 Peter, just a little more background. 2 Peter chapter 3.
Hallelujah. Praise
the title of this today is, He's Coming Soon.
Amen.
He's coming soon. I really believe that. All of these things are just signs to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Listen, they're here already.
Amen.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You Christians have been talking about the coming of the Lord forever. Where is it? Well, you'll see. Scoffers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. See, it's a promise of fire to come. We know this is true. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief and the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Let me stop there for a moment. You know, we ought to be sober-minded now.
Amen.
One thing that should never be, Christians should never just go along with the folly of the day. We should never go along with the vain conversation of the day. We don't have to be contrary to everybody we meet, but in our minds and in our conversation, we should be sober.
Amen.
See? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. That's what we're looking for, the day of God. He's coming back. Where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. He's coming soon.
Amen.
He's coming back. This world's not our home. So we have to live here. And Jesus said, occupy till I come. But even though we have to work and live and we have to do all the daily things in this life, our mind should be looking for God to come back. Always looking for him to come back. We don't know exactly when he's coming back. The signs are in the land. We've seen Israel restored to their homeland. God sent a prophet to this generation, a vindicated prophet. Signs and wonders and miracles were shown throughout the world. And the Bible was confirmed to be the word of God.
Amen.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
God's purpose in bringing up a prophet was not just to display his power, but to restore our faith back to the original faith of the original Pentecostal fathers that were there on the day of Pentecost, and the pillar of fire hung over each of them. The Spirit of God poured out on each of them. Do you believe in that kind of experience?
Amen.
I believe that same experience they had on the day of Pentecost is what each of us needs today.
Amen.
We need that. I believe God gives that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's coming back. When he comes this next time, it will not be like the first coming. See, the first coming, Jesus, remember, he only fulfilled part of that scripture. He stopped and he put the book down. He says, the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped in mid-verse, quoting Isaiah, and because that first coming wasn't the day of vengeance of our God. That's the second coming. So when he came, that was the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal and the sick. And what a deliverance ministry Jesus had.
Amen.
He came out. He was merciful to sinners. He healed the sick. He opened the blinded eyes. He raised the dead. He was how wonderful Jesus is.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
But the second coming of Christ, according to prophecy, is the day of vengeance of our God. And there's many scriptures about it. And while to us it's a great day that he comes back, it's the great and dreadful day.
Amen.
It really depends where you are. If you're in the ark in safety, it's a great day. If you're not safe in Christ, it's a dreadful day.
Amen.
Because when he comes back and he captures this, raptures this bride from this earth, and the Holy Spirit's taken from this earth, that, I believe, is that moment talked about in the scripture. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. There comes a time when there is no more mercy, which is the withholding of due judgment. I tell you, I want mercy.
Amen.
I don't want to live in a world where there's no mercy. I don't want to live in a world where there's no grace. I don't want to live in the world where there's not blood on the throne.
Amen.
But that's coming. See, and then the great tribulation period sets in, and talk about fearful sights, men's hearts failing for fear. All these things are promised to this earth, and I believe we're living at that time.
Amen.
So we're not fear mongers to promote fear, but we're faith people.
Amen.
Faith in what the word says, and we have to stay with what it says. If someone comes to me from a worldly perspective and wants me to give them hope that this world's going to be restored and all this is going to go away, I can't give that to them. Because from my view, it is just going to get worse.
Amen.
And that doesn't make me happy, but that's what the Word says.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't see any promise that things will get better. See, that's my problem. That's my issue. I can't give that. To me, that's giving false hope to people. I can't say to you, hey, just hang in there in the stock market. It'll come back. You know, I've never believed in the stock market. Because you see how quickly, on a whim, it can just sink. See? So this is a battle more than I see. She wants to, I don't have any confidence in that. To me, that's like just giving your money away. She's like, if it collapses, then everybody's in trouble. Well, that's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, money's not going to save us in that hour. Faith is going to save us in that
Amen.
Hour.
Amen.
See, your intimate relationship with Christ
Amen.
Is what's going to be gold in that hour.
Yes, sir.
Gold. That's gold. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll tell you what is our comfort? The Scriptures.
Amen.
That's our comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we've heard that before, and we heard it again. Now, let's look at what other perspective this scripture has. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, it doesn't mean there is. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Now notice how he says this. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. See? Now, when a woman is pregnant with a child, she kind of has an idea around what day the baby, but she doesn't know exactly because the babies can be late or early, right? Is that right? And so, but when it comes, it comes. And how does it come? Pain, like a contraction, right? It starts to squeeze on them. And I, of course, I don't know. I just watched, you know, observed. And but what I noticed though is the pains don't go away. They just get more severe.
Amen.
And they get closer together. So notice, he's in the scripture saying about, you know, the Lord coming back, that it's like a woman in travail with a child. The pains don't go away. They get more severe and closer together until the baby comes. That's why I believe, when I look at scriptures like this, it's not going to get better, but it's going to get more severe and closer together until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
See, there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen.
I don't believe that this world, and as well-intentioned the governments or not intentioned of the governments may be, they can't solve this problem. It's a mistake to depend on another man, on a government.
Amen.
They don't have the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right? So people that look to government to fix the problem, they're going to be disappointed. Right? Always. It's just like depending on any man to do anything. See? There's only one person we can depend on, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what he wanted us to do. To depend on him directly, not through somebody else. Let's keep going here. A woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, there's a difference there. See, most people are walking in darkness. Most people don't have the light of the Holy Spirit. They don't have their eyes open, are not born again, truly born again of the Holy Spirit. They walk in darkness. Even many so-called Christians today, if they don't have the Holy Ghost, they're walking in darkness, claiming to be Christians. See? They can read the Bible and not understand it.
That's right.
It takes the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the ark.
Amen.
To be in Christ.
Amen.
So, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Now, that is to us. Let us not sleep. See, there is a sleeping spiritual slumber on the land today. We need to wake up.
Amen.
Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be sober. Be sober-minded. Don't be full of anxiety and panic. That's not a Christian. Christian is in the eye of the storm. All around them is going 100 miles an hour in craziness, but they have Jesus, the eye in the calm of the storm.
Amen.
Doesn't mean things don't get crazy. They are crazy, but Jesus keeps us straight.
Amen.
For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love is what should drive us. Faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. See, so that's what we're supposed to do with one. We're supposed to comfort one another, edify one another, and we do that, as the Bible says. So as a woman is travail with child, that's birth pains. They're going to keep coming. So what am I expecting? You know, I see 9/11 as a birth pain. I see this kind of thing as a birth pain. I see these things happening more often. And it could be natural disasters, man-made disasters. I don't know what it's going to be, but I see it coming more often, more severe, and the world just getting crazier and crazier, the morality of the world getting worse and worse, the spiritual condition of the world worse and worse, right? The violence just getting escalated even more, right?
Amen.
What are we expecting? I'm not expecting it to get easier. I'm expecting it to get harder here. Till we get out of here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we are here for such a time as this.
Amen.
Now, I think trying times are what manifests really what's inside you.
That's true.
You know, as a trial comes to a Christian's life, and you know, really what's in you comes out during those times that you're squeezed. And I do believe that times like this, your faith that you have, that not put on or anything, that you have, will just rise up.
Amen.
Faith is. Now, if you don't have faith, see, that's a time that it gets manifested. And panic and fear and all. But. Sorry, where's the faith in God?
Amen.
Where's the trust in God?
Amen.
I'm glad to see everybody here today.
Amen.
Right? You know, fear can keep people away from fellowshipping with one another. You know, but faith and love says, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be driven by that. Praise the Lord. We're going to get together as long as we can.
Amen.
See?
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
So, I don't believe the promises that the world's going to recover. No. I'm not expecting things to recover, but I'm fully expecting things to continue to fall apart. So why? Because we're at the end.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I believe that for a long time, and I believe we're living in the last days, and even though it's tarried, I believe he's going to come.
Amen.
He's going to come back. So, but having said all that, we know there's a place of safety. There is a real place of safety and security. The world is seeking it. The world is going crazy. You know, Amber works in the hospital. She said people are stealing masks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to keep you safe. Okay? You know, just the way people, go there in Moses' day, there was an ark of safety for him. The death, they were killing all the boys. The mother, by faith, put him in an ark, and the ark was a safe place for him. In Noah's day, there was an ark of safety, and he got into that ark with his family, and he was safe from the flood that destroyed every living thing. There is an ark of safety. In the children of Israel, before the death angel came, what did they have? There was a place of safety under the blood.
Amen.
When I see the blood,
hallelujah,
I'll pass over you.
Amen.
See, so what they did is they had to sacrifice a lamb. And you remember, if you read the story of this, they had to keep that lamb with them for about 2 weeks, I think, before they sacrificed it. So can you imagine a little lamb that was... Okay. 3 days, whatever. And so they had this little lamb in their house, and they knew this lamb. Now, what is a lamb like? It's gentle, it's meek, it's a cute little thing in their house, right? So they I'm sure they got attached to this lamb, right? And that's the point of it. They got attached to the lamb, and then they had to kill the lamb as a sacrifice. You know, Brother Branham talked one time about Cain versus Abel. And he said, you see, Cain offered botany life.
True.
No feeling in it.
Amen.
That's a lot of religion today.
Amen.
It's just a cold, formal. See, they're all about what they do. Cain was about what he could produce, right? But see, The Lamb of God, we're to hold on to the Lamb and watch the life go out of Him and have that day at Calvary. See, and there's feeling in it. He felt the pain. He bled and died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, those stripes,
hallelujah,
we were healed.
Amen.
See, there's feeling in real religion.
Amen.
It's heartfelt.
Amen.
Remember the guy said, well, there is no heartfelt religion. And he says, well, what you should have said, as far as you know, there's no heartfelt religion. See, but as for me in my house, it's real to me. My relationship with God is not based on fear. It's based on love. I don't want to disappoint the one that I love. The one, I love Him because He first loved me. See, His love came poured out to us unconditionally. But when you receive the love of God and the salvation plan of God, what happens is you naturally start to learn more about Him and love Him for what He is and for what He's done for us. Do you appreciate what God's done for you?
Amen.
See, the point I'm trying to make is when they sacrificed that lamb there and that blood went on the door, they remembered where that blood came from. They got the hyssop, they put it in the thing, and they hung on the door. And the blood that was on the door, it was from a lamb that they had felt attached to. And when we say we're saved by the blood of Jesus, that's not a cold and formal thing. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved by the blood of that perfect one. He came and took my place. I should have been tortured that way. I should have been crucified. I should have been sent to hell. But He died for me, and then He went to hell, and He took the keys of death and hell.
Hallelujah.
He overcame for me, and now I'm an overcomer because of what He did for me.
Amen.
You see, Christianity is a relationship.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Amen.
That's what we need. There was a safe place underneath the blood. So when the death angel came and he came up to the door and he saw the blood on the door, he just passed over. And they were passed over them. Praise God.
Amen.
I love that there's a safe place today. And today, the one place of safety, the ark the token which must be on display today is not the literal blood of Jesus, but the life that was in the blood.
Amen.
Back in Exodus, it was the literal blood of that lamb. They put a hyssop, they put it on the doorposts, and the literal blood was there. Now today, it's different today because our sacrifice 2,000 years ago, Christ, when he died, the life went out of them. And that's what came back on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost is the life that was in the blood. When I see that life on display, when I see the token of the Holy Ghost covering that household, that's why, see, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the seal of God on somebody's life. Not that they just intellectually proclaim that they're a Christian and intellectually believe and they have had no experience with God, but someone who's truly been born again.
Amen.
Born of the Spirit of the living God has come into them. That's the token. That's the seal of God. That's the ark. That's the hiding place. And outside of that, you're not safe. There's no safety outside of that. You have to be born of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. By one Spirit, we are baptized into one body. The new birth, when Jesus Christ, this is what I've been trying to say, when Jesus Christ personally reveals himself to you, that's the new birth. When God reveals to you what he's done for you, he reveals to you that he's real, that he's mindful of you, that he took your place. When God himself reveals personally to you, it's a real experience that you have. And the Spirit of God, and you're baptized with the Spirit of the living God. Very different than intellectual religion, which is more common today. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How we need him. You know, reading the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, it was a real experience.
Amen.
It was a life-changing experience. They were never the same after that.
Amen.
Were they perfect? No, but they were never the same after that. Praise God. I think about that and I realized old things are passed away.
Amen.
All things become new. You become a new creation in Christ. See, and the outside, you know, physically you look the same, but spiritually you're very different.
Amen.
The spiritual world looks at you completely different after a new birth.
Amen.
Where there was darkness there, now there's light.
Hallelujah.
Spirits see. You know, anybody can call themselves a Christian, but spirits can see what if there's light in us.
Amen.
See, they recognize that light. That's why, remember that man that tried to cast out devils and he really wasn't born again? Well, the devils just jumped all over him and you know, he went running, him and his brothers went out and running the house naked, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You got to know where you stand.
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
When I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, you know, the word is a lamp.
Amen.
Unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Amen.
See,
amen.
You can have the word without the oil. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, we need the word and the oil.
Amen.
All right, so while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, all. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now watch, I want you to notice this part. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You can't say they're not believers. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, one point that I want you to notice here. The ones with the oil could not help the ones without the oil at that critical time. Could it be that there's going to come a time when people will realize that they don't have the Holy Ghost, and they go to people that they think has the Holy Ghost, or that do have the Holy Ghost, and they'll ask for it? Think about that. But at that time, the ones with the Holy Ghost could not give it to them. You see, no man can give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No man-made system, no church, no bishop, no priest, no minister. You got to get the Holy Ghost direct.
Amen.
You got to have a direct experience with Almighty God.
Amen.
And even when it becomes a critical time like this, people with the Holy Ghost can't just give it to you. They said, no, you got to go get it from Him. You got to get it from Him. God help us. We need the Holy Ghost. You know, you can get masks if you want. You can get more hand sanitizer if you want. I'm not against any of that. I really am not. I don't like hand sanitizer. I just don't like greasy things, you know, myself. I wash my hands with soap, okay? But what you really need is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost
Amen.
And fire. That's what you need. And if you want to make something a priority in your life, you get alone with God.
Amen.
And if this virus is a motivation for you to break away from all the nonsense, well, there's nothing happening anyway. Right? If that's the excuse you need to get God's mercy and to get serious with God, then use it.
Yes.
Use it.
Amen.
Use it. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost more than life, more than bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? With stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak to this people. This is the rest. What is the rest? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same, and I'll say the very same experience they had on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Read the book of Acts. See what the conditions were. See what happened to them. See what happened to them afterwards. Say, God, I want this. I want the very same experience they had. God, I need this. You've invited me to come. I want to come. You know, Jesus, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What did He do on the road to Emmaus?
Amen.
He revealed Himself, right?
Yes.
But kind of hid Himself and revealed Himself. He was opening their scriptures to them. He was explaining things to them. It's what He does to us.
Amen.
And then when He come to the place at the town, He made as though He would keep going. I really believe Jesus wants us to invite Him.
Amen.
He wants us to want Him.
Amen.
He does His part. He blesses us. I don't know about you, but reading the Bible can be so exciting because you're just reading the Bible and then something happens.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing He does for us.
Amen.
Not everybody gets that when they read the Bible. Some people, when they read the Bible, it's just dry. I did my part. Oh, well, I read my chapter today. No. Reading the Bible can be an experience with God. You know, the reason I don't believe in quotas and reading is sometimes I get caught up in one verse and it quickens to me.
Amen.
And I can't get away from it.
Amen.
And I don't want to get away from it.
Yes, amen.
I just want to get lifted up.
Amen.
And he starts to talk to you.
Hallelujah.
You see, it's a channel. He chose to reveal himself this way. And what we have to do is humble ourselves with the revelation that the Bible is the Word of God, and we open the Bible with the expectation that all things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
I can encounter the Almighty God today.
Amen.
He's so great that He spoke the universe, but He's so humble that He'll come to me in my little Bible reading time, and He'll open up truth. That's what we need. We need an experience with God.
Amen.
David, before he fought Goliath, he had an experience with the lion and the bear.
Amen.
You need some individual experiences right now before this whole thing just blows wide open.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen.
Because we haven't hit the worst of this yet, I believe. It's like getting ready for the worst. Right? I don't believe in promoting panic or anything like that, and I don't believe Christians will panic. But the world is going to panic. You know, what if more people start to die? What if more people start to get sick? What do you think is going to happen to the condition of the world? They're shutting down schools and everything, and they're saying, all right, if you have 250 people, you know, or more, don't get together. You know, it's kind of an advantage being a smaller church, right? David, mom once used to say, if you got more than 30, you're not preaching the word. You know, I said, David, I can't see that in the scripture, but maybe he knew something. I don't know. Praise the Lord. That's why I say, as long as we can get together, we're going to get together. Now listen, if you feel, and I'll say this as a matter of just reality, if you feel like, hey, I'm not feeling good, and I don't want to go to church, okay, because I don't feel good. If you want us to pray for you, we'll come to you.
Amen.
And we will lay hands on you.
Amen.
And we will watch God raise you up.
Amen.
Right? Amen?
Amen.
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 I am not afraid of the devil.
Amen.
All of heaven backs up the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Okay? We are not to be afraid.
Amen.
You're to be bold with your faith.
Yes. Glory. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus. All right. So, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So, 1 Peter 1:10 says this, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure.
Yes.
See, it can't hurt anybody just to make sure. Make your calling and election sure. It can hurt if you really don't have what you need to have. See, so that's what we need to do. The world is reeling, they're scrambling, and while they scramble and panic, I still believe God is getting ready to manifest the sons and daughters of God. It's manifesting time. Okay? And I don't think we should be afraid, but I think we should make sure we're in that ark. Make sure the token's on display. The seal of God is in your soul.
Hallelujah.
See, when God made man in His image, made sons of God, right? In the image of God. It was not God's intention that man would live in a fallen condition. What was God's intention when He put man on this earth? God's intention was that man would rule this earth. Would be a lesser god of this earth. That was God's intention. See? But sin separated man from his rightful position. Is that right? Adam, you know, he could say, animals do this, tree be plucked up, move over there. You know, he had that power. But sin separated him from the presence of God. Listen, sin does the same thing today. It separates us from where we should live in God. Because we were ordained, we were placed here to live in a certain place. In this high position, the high calling of God, as a son of God, a restored son of God. Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. Amen?
Amen.
To me, if yet, what was the message of the hour about? That. To be restored, not just back to Pentecost, yes, but back to the Garden of Eden before the fall.
Amen.
A son of God, a daughter of God.
Amen.
See, now when you think about those things, our faith in the blood of Calvary restores us back to that original condition. And the devil's just a bluff. He's just a bluff. If he can get you to fall into his traps, then he can bring you under condemnation. And then you lose confidence with God. And then you don't even want to pray because you just feel like, I can't pray because if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. See, sin takes us away from our purpose. Takes us away from our purpose. Praise God.
Amen.
Now is the time to stand up. Sons and daughters of God. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to let God have his way.
Amen.
To resist the devil and let him flee. And to yield to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let your light shine. Be the person. Think about this now. Be the person that God ordained you to be. For such a time as this, we were placed here. Let's be what we were ordained to be. You know, we weren't ordained to be like the rest of the world.
Amen.
He gave us experiences he didn't give all them. I can't fix that. I wish everybody could have the experiences that I had with God. They're treasures to me.
Amen.
But I can't give them to somebody else. He gave them to me.
Yes.
He gave you experiences. He revealed himself personally to you. Why did God reveal himself personally to you? Well, just so I could be better than everybody else. No. Because he's got a purpose for you. It's such a time as this. To stand up and be what you are. Isaiah 60. I love this scripture. I want to read it to you. Brother Bram said, this is for this day. He said, arise, shine. Isaiah 60, verse 1. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Amen.
The glory of God, the Spirit of the living God, the true revelation of the Word of God, the mind of Christ to soberly apply the Word of God in love, in faith, sons of God taking their position. That's why you're here, to manifest God. I got a wonderful quote I want to read to you out of the Adoption series. Brother Bram, do you have that, Sean? It should be there, already open. Manifestation of the sons of God. Look at this adoption. It says, go right back to Genesis, to the original. What is it? Now the world, the nature is groaning, crying. Everything's a moving what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. When true sons, born sons, filled sons, speak and their word is backed.
Amen.
Do you believe in that?
Amen.
See, that is one of the treasures that God gave to people following an end time message.
Amen.
The reality of that spoken creative word of God.
Amen.
I don't believe Brother Branham was lying. You could never get me to believe that. He spoke to the fish and life came into it. He spoke and squirrels were created. He spoke to the storm and the storm went away that should have dumped feet of snow. Right? He spoke to Hattie Wright's sons. They were converted.
Amen.
He spoke to the tumor on his wife's side, and he wasn't in the same room.
Amen, amen.
God is eternal.
Glory. Amen.
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 He's all present.
Amen.
All knowing.
Amen.
He spoke before the doctor shall touch it. It'll be gone.
Amen.
And his wife's testimony, the doctor's coming up and she's pressing out the side. Do you believe they made all this story up?
No.
Can you believe people that are walking away saying they made all these stories up, you know, just deceiving her? You know, talking about deceived people. They're, as the doctor's coming up to touch it, just about to touch it, and before he touched it, it was gone.
Amen.
How perfect was the word of God? Not the word of Brother Branham, but God manifesting through a Son of God as one born out of season, showing us now today. Remember, the third pool will not be fully manifested until the time of the squeeze. Who's going to manifest it? Well, you got somebody say, well, Brother Branham's going to come back and he's going to do it again. Listen, that is not the point of this message.
Amen.
To put everything on Brother Branham. It was Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Listen, amen. If you have the same Holy Ghost Brother Branham had, can't that Holy Ghost do the same thing through you?
Amen.
For such a time as this, you were placed here.
Amen. Glory.
Can you find faith within you to believe, I'm here for that? You do realize there's some people on this earth that are here to never die.
Amen.
They're ordained to that.
Amen.
You know, just like Joshua, you know, and Moses, they were their ancestors were born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery, 400 years. Born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery. But one day, a little baby was born to be free.
Amen.
Born to be free from slavery.
Amen.
Joshua was born a slave. They were born slaves. But then they went out and they became feared warriors.
Right.
God
Amen.
Transforms people's lives.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
He takes a sinner and makes a saint.
Amen.
He takes perversion and cleanses it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he puts the holy Amen. Righteousness of God in somebody.
Amen.
He takes wrong ambitions and replaces it with right.
Amen.
What a God. The power to transform.
Amen.
How much power do you think it takes him to come live inside one of us and speak his creative power? Do you think he uses a lot of his energy? It's very simple for him. The problem is unbelief in us. We need to get pushed aside and trust him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Born sons of God, filled with their word is backed. I believe we're on the border of it right now. Yes, sir. Say to this mountain, let it be so, brother. I desire so-and-so, a certain thing done. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's a manifestation. See, some people want to say it's all in the preaching. It's all in the letter of the word. No, God, it is in the word. But it's the supernatural vindication of the Word of God. The Bible says they went forth, God confirming their word with signs following. You see, it's not just knowing the word, it's having the Almighty God confirm that word inside of you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Gospel is not just teaching, but a manifestation. There's a manifestation. Oh, brother, my crops are burning out yonder. I haven't had any rain. I'll send you a rain in the name of the Lord God.
Amen.
Bless your crop. Oh, waiting, groaning, all nature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God ordained it at the beginning. He gave man the domain. He gave Jesus Christ, gave Jesus it in his name with this assurance. Ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. Oh, Brother Palmer, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the position, the church. As I said, the book of Ephesians is the book of Joshua. And Joshua placing the people where they belong. Now, if they wouldn't stand still, he had put Ephraim there and said he run over on Manasseh's land. This one would have come back a fussing and stewing how they ever going to get along. When one said, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm oneness, two-ness, I'm so-and-so, how are you going to do it? Stand still. Praise God. God's wanting to place his church, sons and daughters of God. God, let me live to see it, is my prayer. So close so I can just feel it with my hands almost. Looks like it's right there. That's what I've longed to see, waiting for the time when we'll walk down the street and there lays a cripple laying there from his mother's womb. Silver and gold have I none. Oh, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. When God will make himself known, when they'll stop sickness, they'll stop cancer, they'll stop diseases. And then he says, you think cancer's something? The Bible said there's coming a time when men will rot right in their flesh. The buzzards will eat off the carpets before they even die. Cancer's a toothache to what's coming. I believe that. I believe we could see parts of that. Maybe we're seeing it now. But remember, that horrible thing was forbidden in that day to touch those that had the seal of God. That's what we're striving for now. Get in, and he positionally placed into the kingdom of God, be positionally placed in the kingdom of God before those horrible plagues strikes. Oh, how good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's where we need the seal of God.
Amen.
That's our protection. That's our safe place. You believe Jesus is coming?
Amen.
I believe he's coming. Let's all stand.
Hallelujah. Praise the Holy Lord. Amen.
We got a fellowship meal today. Welcome to stay. Next month, we got some changes in the schedule. Communion and foot washing is going to be on a Wednesday, the 8th, not the 9th. And then our fellowship meal next month is not going to be on Easter. We're going to push it back a week. And I'm hoping we're going to have a shower, a celebration, because we're having a baby, right, Amos? And Rita, you know, praise God. You know, we wanted to have something for them when they came over here, but we just never got around to it, so we can have a nice time together.
Amen.
Amen. I know Rita talks a lot, but she promised she wouldn't talk the whole time. I just like to pick on her. I don't know.
Amen.
But anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we're so grateful for you. We don't have the words to express, oh God, how grateful we are for your blessings to us. And Lord, truly we feel the pain of the people of the world. Help us to point them to the way of escape, oh God. Give us wisdom when we're dealing with people that don't know you, Lord, that we could have the right words and the right attitude and just wisdom beyond ourselves, Lord, that we could point people to the shed blood on Calvary. Lord, it takes you to save a soul, O God. We can't save anyone, Lord, but we know that you use human beings, Lord. You use people, imperfect people like us, to share a perfect gospel. And Lord, just help us to do it now. Lord, we help us to be willing, Lord, to speak the truth, Lord, in a time where the truth is not welcome, Lord. Help us to stand for you in this hour. But Lord, give us love, Lord, even for the people that don't love you, Father. Help us, Lord, to be merciful. Help us, Lord, to reach out to the lost and dying. Oh God, I realize people are becoming more and more unfriendly because they're scared, oh God. Help us, oh God, to do your will. Bless each one that's here today that made the effort to come, Lord. I ask you to give a special blessing to them. Lord, we come here Thursday nights to pray for one another. Lord, we come here today to worship you, Lord. And I just pray a hedge of protection around your people. Just protect every home, everyone that's here, oh God. And just Lord, if sickness would walk into this building, may it be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, if sickness should try to get into our homes, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, give us boldness to challenge the devil.
Yes.
To stand up and be what you've proclaimed us to be, oh God.
Amen.
Bless each and everyone today. Bless the food today that was prepared, the hands that prepared, Lord. We know you can multiply, oh God, the loaves and the fishes. And we just ask you to bless the food that is there to our bodies and make us strong that we can serve you. Bless each one today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He's coming soon. That's a song in the songbook, Sean. I don't know the number to it. He's coming soon. In these, the closing days of time. He's coming. There it is. You believe he's coming soon?
Amen.
In the closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords, that soon, oh wondrous truth sublime, shall reign King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his return. Oh, it may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. Signs. The signs around in earth and air, or painted on the starlit sky, God's face. Savior draweth nigh. Oh, he's coming dead in Christ. All the dead in Christ who need us lie in countless number, all shall rise. Oh, and through the portals of the sky, he shall come to prepare now, and we who living, and we who living yet remain, caught up to meet our faithful Lord. This cherish not in vain, but we comfort one another by this word. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming. Night or